The reading tonight is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21, and it's the heading is Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, you have promised me, and now you dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord.
We've been looking at songs from the Gospels, like Mary's song, Zechariah's song, and so on. Tonight we're looking at Simeon's song. But before we start doing that, I'd just like to pray, and I'd like to read part of Colossians 1 to you as a prayer. So if you'd like to follow it, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. If not, then perhaps you'd just like to close your eyes as we just pray together. Paul is praying here with Timothy, and he says at verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, the folk at Colossae, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will." That's the point. That's what we want tonight and in our lives generally, to know his will for us through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Why was Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in the temple at this particular time? Well, according to Galatians, Jesus was made under the law and was therefore required to be circumcised on the eighth day, as it would accord with Genesis chapter 17. And he was given the name Jesus, as pronounced by the angel to Joseph. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Salvation is the central theme of the Bible. If someone asks you what the Bible is on about, you tell them it's all about God's salvation. They were in the temple in obedience to two Old Testament laws. First, the purification of Mary 40 days from giving birth to Jesus, as found in Leviticus chapter 12. To offer a sacrifice of two birds, as they were too poor to bring a lamb. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich." Secondly, they were there for the consecration of the firstborn, according to Exodus chapter 13, to commemorate the day the people came out of Egypt, out of slavery. This was the Redeemer of the world coming to bring freedom from the slavery of sin. What an amazing God we have. One who wants to bring freedom for all of us. In verse 25, we're introduced to the character in the verses, Simeon. He was probably one of a remnant of believing Jews waiting for their Redeemer. He was probably elderly. We are not told his age, so that's speculation in part, but it is very likely that he was getting on in years. He may well have been one of the Hasidim. These people were very sincere and earnest worshippers of God. They kept the law in spirit as well as in the letter. You remember the Pharisees were known because they were very hypocritical. They kept the law in the letter, but they didn't keep it in the spirit. Not so Simeon. He talked the talk and he walked the walk. He practiced what he preached. 1 John chapter 3 tells us that we should live and love not just with words, but with actions and in truth. Simeon was an action and truth guy. Simeon was a worshipper of God. And in John 4 we're told that those who are true worshippers worship God in spirit and in truth. That was Simeon. What about us? Is that a challenge to the way that I worship? A challenge to the way that you worship in spirit and in truth? We're told something about Simeon. We're told what he was like. We're told he was righteous and devout. And in those two words, you could preach a whole sermon. I'm not going to preach just on those two words. Do not panic. But you could. They are just full of meaning. Righteous and devout. One who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. For that read, waiting for the Messiah to rescue the Jews from their oppressors. Righteous. What does righteous mean? Well, it's someone who lives in a right way. Someone who lives in a right way, particularly in relation to relationships. One who is upright in moral character. This expresses Simeon's attitude towards people. And it's important that we have a right attitude towards people that we live with, work with, rub shoulders with, bump into from time to time. Simeon was one of those people. He was righteous. He was also devout. This is someone who fully dedicates themselves to God. This expresses Simeon's attitude to God. He had a right attitude to people, and he had a right, in balance, a right attitude to God. What a commendation of Simeon. How do I compare? How do you compare? We have a responsibility, don't we, to live out and out for God and represent him well before people. We've looked at Simeon as a person, but how about what he was doing from verses 25-26 onward? What was he doing? He was waiting for the Messiah. The Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death. He would not die before he saw the Messiah. What an amazing promise. Just imagine that we were living back before the time of Jesus' birth, and the Holy Spirit might have revealed that to you or to me. It is mind-blowing what the Spirit did to this guy, Simeon. In all likelihood, this promise was a reward for his devotion. He was a man of God who lived right before people and right before God. It's probably opposite for us today. We will see Jesus, those who believe in him, after our death or at his return when he comes to take us, when he comes to the skies to take us. But in seeing him then, we will be like him. How amazing is that? when we see him, we will be made just like him. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts and met Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. Simeon was in the right place, at the right time, with the right attitude of mind. Why? Well, it was because he lived close to God. And he was responsive to the Spirit of God at work within him. God's timing is always perfect. And here's Simeon at the right time, at the right moment, there to meet his salvation. We notice in the verses that the Holy Spirit did three things with Simeon. First, he was upon Simeon. Secondly, he had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before seeing Messiah. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit moved him to go to the temple courts at just the precise moment to meet Jesus. And there he was able to take him in his arms and pronounce that song. So action followed the Holy Spirit's work in Simeon's life. In one way, it was really all down to the Spirit in Simeon's life, not him. But, as with us, he had to act on the Spirit's promptings. Here's the first little bit that I want you to have a little think about and write something down on your piece of paper, okay? So this is the bit to wake up if you've been sleeping so far. Can you recall an occasion in your life when you responded to the Spirit's promptings and you found yourself in the right place at the right time with the right attitude of mind doing something special for God? I put the word special in because anything that we do for God, as far as God is concerned, is special. Whether we might consider it very small and insignificant, or perhaps something a little bit larger. So write something down on your piece of paper. And while you're doing that, I just want to tell you about something that happened to me yesterday. And this is not a regular occurrence for me, okay? I'm nothing special. But I've been thinking for a couple of days of just putting a text together to send to a friend who's recently been diagnosed as being very unwell. And I was thinking about doing it on Thursday. I didn't do it. I was thinking about doing it on Friday, and I didn't do it. I thought about doing it Saturday morning, and I didn't do it. I just didn't feel it was right to do it. I was just a little bit bothered by it. And when I came to late afternoon, early evening yesterday, I just felt that I had to text this person. And I did. And I just said one or two very simple things. And I just said to this person, God has asked me to say to you that he loves you. And that was the very thing for this person that just did it for them. Because they had been praying to God and saying, I can't cope with this. I don't think I can go through with this illness. I don't think there's a future for me. And just at the right moment, something happened, and I was prompted, and a blessing came. Can you remember something like that? Something very simple? Something perhaps that has happened that is special for you? If you can, write it down. If you can't think of such a time, don't panic, okay? You're not unusual. But just write something down that you would like God to do for you. And ask him to bring it about. Just put something down that you're maybe just thinking through at the moment that you'd like God to do for you. Just write that down. I'll give you a second or two just to do that. Just a couple of words or a sentence. No one's going to see these things apart from you. So feel free to be open in your own presence, okay? Okay, I'm going to move on. Simeon took baby Jesus in his arms and praised God with a song. Verse 28 and going on from there. Simeon addresses, in the NIV version at least, it says, the Sovereign Lord. In the original language, the Greek language it would have been written in, the word is Master. one who is absolute ruler. And Simeon starts his song to God in this way, acknowledging the absolute ruler of everything. And he proclaims that he has seen the Master's salvation, the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world, and was therefore ready to depart when the Master blew the whistle. Just blow the whistle. I'm now ready to go to be with you. I've seen your salvation. I've seen Jesus. Simeon had seen what was promised he would see. Jesus the Messiah. No doubt prior faith was rewarded here by present sight. The second little practical thing that we're going to come to now. What would you like to see happen, or what would you like to do before some next big thing happens in your life? Perhaps for you it might be seeing Jesus in heaven. Maybe the next big thing for you will be finishing school, finishing college, finishing university. Maybe the next big thing for you is perhaps, if the Lord grants it, that you might get married or have children or wait till your children leave home. We recently almost got to that position. And Will got married in June, as you remember. Hannah left about 2.5 months ago. The only thing is, he's just come back in between, you know, houses and flats. You know what it is. So we're not quite there yet, but we're almost there. Whatever the next big thing is, maybe it's just next year, within the next year, within the next 5 years, the next 10 years. What would you like God to let you see or do for him? It could be seeing Jesus in a new way, having a better understanding or appreciation of him through the Bible. It could be to worship him more effectively. Or it could be that God has something specific he wants you to do. You may know this already. And maybe you've been resisting him, resisting the issue that he's bringing back to your attention time and time again. Or maybe he's not asked you to do anything yet. Maybe you've not found out what he wants you to do. I want you to just think about that. What is it for you? This perhaps is the one thing that I've really been praying about and tossing over in my mind time and time again over the past few weeks. I believe the Lord is saying to me tonight that there's someone here. Perhaps it's me as well. There's someone here, and he's speaking to you. And he wants to say something to you, and he wants you to respond. He wants you to do something special for him. We need to notice that Simeon in his song refers to the light that would be revealed to the Gentiles. It's unbelievable that Simeon refers to the Gentiles in this song, the only song in the Gospels where such a reference is made. This was well outside of Simeon's comfort zone. In considering what God wants us to see or us to do, we need to consider that this may be well outside our comfort zone too. As you think and write down something for you, for yourself, let me tell you about something that happened to me this week. A couple of the home groups got together on Tuesday night and we went carol singing. Fine for us, not so good for the people who were there receiving the carols probably. But we went to Tea Haven and Morell Court. And things seemed to go really well. We've not heard any bad reports or anyone sort of, you know, having any illness or whatever after us being there. So far so good. But the amazing thing for me was that after we finished singing in Morell Court, a number of us went around and said hello to the ladies and one gentleman in the room there. And as I was going around, I could see coming up a lady that I sort of half recognized. And when I got there and started talking to her, I remembered that she was someone who was in church in Glenwood with Naomi and I when we were there many, many, many years ago. Her name is Hilda Harker, and her late husband, Alf, were tremendous people for God. They helped in Christian camp work for years and years and years, and with others had a vision to start a church in Llanedin in Cardiff, the church that we know today as Glenwood Church. They believed that God had asked them to do something very specific for him. Thinking of Glenwood Church, my mind also went to a man called Arthur Tovey, probably someone you've never, ever heard of. If you have, tell me afterwards. I'd like to talk to you. Who for a large part of his life worked with non-church young men. He played football with them or organized the football for them to play. He took them on outings. He opened his home up to them. And he was absolutely amazing. And many of those young men became Christians. One such person was Rob Parsons, who is probably known to many people in the room here, who set up Care for the Family and has had a great influence on the life of Glenwood Church over many years. You know, these are just examples of people doing what God asked them to do, taking risks, stepping outside their comfort zone, and having big hearts for God, for God's people, and his work. You will know of many others. And there are many such people listening to me talking just now in this room. Praise God that he can do immeasurably more than we ever ask or imagine. What is it that you've written down? What is it that you need to write down? Have you written down something for yourself? Something God has asked you to see? Something God has asked you to do? Again, if he hasn't, don't panic. Maybe it's not clear yet. But what would you like him to show you to do? What area of service might be of interest to you for him to call you into? And so on and so forth. Just take a minute or two, if you've not written that down already, just to make a little note of what God is saying to you about that. Okay, moving on. In verse 33, we have the reaction of Mary and Joseph to what Simeon had said about salvation, about the Messiah, about Jesus. And their reaction was one of marvel. They marveled at what they heard about Jesus. You know, our reaction as we read things about Jesus in the Bible should be just the same. We should just fall in awe. We should just open our mouths wide and take in how wonderful and marvelous he is. We should worship him as a result on a regular basis. Verse 33, we see Simeon's blessings. Simeon blessed God before he spoke out his song. And now he blesses Mary and Joseph. But did you notice that he didn't bless Jesus? Perhaps a reason for that is that Jesus is the source of every blessing. And maybe he didn't bless him for that reason. Maybe, maybe not. What do you think? Simeon's word to Mary, he spoke and blessed Mary and Joseph, and then Simeon went on to speak only to Mary. He zoomed in and said, I've got some things, Mary, for you to know. And he refers to this child in verse 34. This child. He was not just one more Jewish child born into a Jewish home, but one absolutely pivotal for people's salvation. No other child like this child. Absolutely God, absolutely man. This child was destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. Those who believed in him would rise to new heights, and those who rejected him would fall into greater darkness. It also says that this child would be a sign that would be spoken against by those determined rejectors of Jesus. We know of many people today, I won't mention names because this is being taped, but who sadly fit that category, although we pray that that would change for those people and they would see things differently because of God's Spirit working in their lives and God's grace at work in their lives. Simeon also said that to Mary that a sword would pierce her soul. And so it did many times during Jesus' ministry, and particularly when at the cross she saw her own son die there for the sins of the world. Returning to Simeon's song was a song of praise to God. And this is our third and last little practical interlude, as it were. As we consider the birth of Jesus again this Christmas, what would you say if you had to compose such a song? What if you were asked to write a song that would appear in the Bible? I know we can't add anything to the Bible, so it's a bit sort of hypothetical. But what would you say from your experience if you were asked to write such a song? Anyone who may have been counting up the words in this song, depending on the version, you would find that there's about 44 words that comprises Simeon's song. I'll give you a maximum of 50 words, okay? And you can start it now, and you can perhaps finish it later on this evening or sometime during the week. But if you had to write a song, what would you say? If you're not very good at writing songs, what about some key words or key phrases that for you encapsulates what you think of Jesus? What Jesus has done for you, specially and personally for you. So just use that piece of paper for a third and last time. Write something down as your song back to God, as we just keep in mind that soon we will celebrate the birth of Jesus this Christmas time. I don't know. We'll have to check it out, but maybe if you're up to it, and once you've finished it, and if you wanted to show it to me, perhaps we could have a little competition and perhaps put something on the website or somewhere else and just share your song, your blessings from God with others in the church and with other people that might be a real help to them. I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes, or 2 minutes maybe, just to have a go at just doing that quietly in your seat, and then we'll essentially be finished. Just as you perhaps do a little bit more on that, or perhaps even finish it, let me just connect up those three practical things that you've been, hopefully, doing with me. When has the Holy Spirit been leading you in your life? And I guess the challenge is that if He's not doing that from time to time, then perhaps we're not living in His presence and in His power and in the power of the Spirit, perhaps as we ought. Is the Spirit at work? Those of us who are believers, who put our trust in the Lord Jesus, is He leading us in our lives? The second thing was about what big thing, and I put the word big in, I didn't use it earlier, what big thing does God want you to see or for you to do in your life? And as an expression of your life, live with the Lord Jesus, what words would you put on a piece of paper to reflect back to Him what you think of Him in calling you, in saving you, in giving you purpose in life and giving you a guarantee of heaven for eternity?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.